There we go. I just asked you to start your video so that you could start it if you wanted to. There you are.
Hi. Hi. Hi.
No, we made it.
Hello.
Good breath.
I'm not thinking of the name of the guy that he hasn't been back for a couple weeks, but he was coming real regular.
Oh, Paul.
Anybody remember it? Paul. Yeah.
Paul. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope he's didn't think you know, he was creating a problem or something. Or that his path is somewhere else or something.
Well, the last time he came, I wasn't there that here that day, but the last time he came, John decided he had to erase some of the dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was not relevant.
Yeah.
And maybe he felt that he wasn't relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the decision to erase it was based on people emailing in and just saying that, you know, we've come to this and listened to Ramakant Maharaj and the teachings, and there was a lot of, you know, different things, and everybody has their own thing. And as long as you're remaining with selfless self, no matter what it is you're doing, and you know yourself in a real sense, then offense shouldn't be like there shouldn't be like a personal offense, because there's no person to be offended.
Right.
And if there is a person to be offended, then more work is to be done.
More work to be done.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I know more work is to be done for me. But that I'm not gonna.
And also too, see, that's another thing. When you know yourself in a real sense, your character may still behave oddly, may still do things that, you know, and that's when you just, okay, in that moment you're like, oh, you know what, I don't know what happened, I got away from it myself, sorry, and you move on. But you have no mentation about it. It's just, you know that it was an instance. And there are times when you behave in such a way that it's like, wow, I can't believe you behave in such a way. Well, I can apologize for that, as far as knowing that within the dream that there was some bad behavior going on, but I don't then identify with that behavior as my behavior and sit there and say, oh my God, you know, my spiritual journey, that wasn't very good, and am I failing or anything? No, it was this puppet tear that is your own selfless self is acting and moving about based on just the five elemental kind of, you know, the storm. The sun doesn't sit there and say, oh, I must have been very bad because all these clouds are covering me today, so I must not be very beautiful, because look at all the clouds that are covering me. Or on a sunny day, it doesn't sit there and say, I am the sun. No clouds dare come near me. And then another cloudy day comes and it's like, oh, I'm all depressed. This is why, you know yourself in a real sense. These are just occurrences. The five elements are going to do what they do. Yeah. Even through this body form. You know, the gunas are operating in the body-based illusion. Of course, gunas are a concept, and it's not true, nor is the body true. However, within the body-based illusion, there are gunas operating and moving about these forms. And then we identify with one of the forms as ourself. But if you know yourself in a real sense, then all forms are myself or no forms are myself because I'm absolutely formless. Imagine the space in the room suddenly is seeing with these eyes, the space, what's inside the space. But there's nothing truly inside the space. And the space that's seeing says, oh, there's a lot of things here. No. And what's my relation to these things? Well, if I identify with this body form that's seeing these objects, then I say my relationship to these things is subject to object. We're relational. There is a relationship between myself and the desk and all this sort of stuff. But if I know myself as the space, just with the eyes seeing what's inside my own self, then I'm none of this. Or I'm all of this, because all of this is appearing within that space. And without these eyes, I would not see what's occurring within the space because I would just be the space. But now I've been given, so to speak, the window into my own self to see what's all going on in this illusory world. And if I know I'm the space just using these eyes to see inside, I say, wow, look at all this stuff that is not. Because I know I'm the space in which all this is occurring. So all of these are just appearances within my own self. None of it is myself. I have no relation to it. Unless, of course, I identify with an object and I see the objects and I forget I'm the space. Instead, I identify as one of the objects. And then I see that objects, there's a thing called time, and time erodes objects. Uh-oh. If I'm an object, I can be eroded, meaning death.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or like a cup. If you wash this cup from now for 20 years, it fades. No matter how nice the cup is produced or whatever, or designer cup or whatever, it fades because of the washes. 20 years of washing, the cup fades. That's if it doesn't just break because it becomes so kind of used. And deteriorates. And if I believe I'm an object that deteriorates, uh-oh. But if I know myself as the space in which all this is appearing, I'm the space, whether there are objects within the space or not. And whether I'm seeing within myself or not, there's still space.
Even though I don't know myself as formless all, you know, all of that often.
It only takes one time. Once you know yourself as formless, then you just say, oh, I'm formless. I've forgotten my formlessness. I just have to refresh my memories. I'm formless. So if I say, you know, I'm not formless all the time. Well, if I know myself even once as the formlessness, then how could I be in form? Because I'm formless. I'm not thinking about my formless self in this moment. I'm thinking about the illusory occurrences that are not happening and trying to make believe that they're happening and somehow following a mind flow that says this is happening because I attach the mind flow to being inside here. Only because I identify with a body, therefore they're my thoughts. No, these are just thoughts flowing, coming and going and coming and going. And you actually are a thought. This concept of being a body is a thought within that flow. Yes. Hi, Jordan. Jai Guru.
Good to see you, John. Sorry for being late.
All good.
But just bouncing right off that, like, that topic, like, you know, the big joke is, or at least has been for me, is that all these years, subject to trying to perfect or improve this so-called, like, defected me, you know, whatever society said. And the joke is, like, even, I feel like even Ramakant would say, if I were to even try to perfect the self, that's still believing in an illusion. Like, ultimately, there is no me. Like, yeah, I say I'm going to go to work, and you guys know that, like, kind of thing, but like, yeah, it's wild. And you're right. Like, it's just glimpsing that, seeing the truth once, like, it's almost like the jig is up. Like, I still get fooled and fall into it for a few hours at a time, you know, and go to the mantra or just space. I don't know, beyond that, like, just, the only way, like, my brain articulates is like what I was looking for, like, that things are okay. And I'm not saying, like, there's not a bunch of stuff that comes up that isn't okay, but it's like okay beyond it doesn't matter. Like, I used to think it's like, oh, well, it's got to be some dopamine high, you know, like I was a pleasure seeker kind of, like, behavior to alleviate suffering. And it's like, it's seeing through the whole game, and I guess it frees up time in this illusion, so I'm not wasting it facing it. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. That's just my experience.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once you know yourself in a real sense, the concept of suffering doesn't make sense anymore. Who is to suffer?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There can be pain. There can be momentary sadness. Emotions come and go. But suffering, there's no mentating about something over and over. Oh, my God, this will never end. Well, this is not happening. And it ends simply by just remaining with myself as self. Because whether it's there or not, it ends. And that's why Maharaj says, where all experience ends, there you are. Experience, whether it be the mental experience or the physical that you're identifying with an action and saying it's my experience, there you are. You just remain with your selfless self. The magic and
memory,
eraser.
Yeah, and memory is irrelevant too, because it was part of your believing you were a body and you were having experiences. And when you know you're not a body, there's no reason to have any charge or any interest in a lot of the memory of that separate self when you know that that was an illusion.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were lines that the actor on the stage was acting at the time. No need to fret and worry and go over them. And
that's
no,
right.
No also need to sit there and say, oh, that time was so wonderful, it'll never happen again. These were just the lines that were occurring in the moment.
Yeah.
And you're now looking back on and saying, oh, because really your experiences are just spontaneous, spontaneous, spontaneous.
Yeah, it's like that repetitive thought that would tell Jordan in this story, like that just, you know, and I've, you know, even after making amends for certain things, but that just inherently like, I'm a bad person, you know. And then the joke is, hey bud, I'm not even a person. That's what I kind of like feel like in my mind, and then it like stops.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Yeah,
well, and the whole making amends is to clear that thought process, because number one, at least when you go back to make amends, a lot of times your mind had locked in who that person was at that specific time, and you don't see that time progressed. You're just stuck there, and you're just mentating, mentating, mentating. So to go back and make amends and say, you know, I was wrong and I did this or that, you, even though you know yourself in a real sense, you are clearing the field. Because you're not having these thoughts about something that you're identifying with. You know, all these illusory layers. And the more you remain with your selfless self, the more it will be for you to spontaneously in the moment say, whoa, sorry about that. That was kind of off the wall. Or apologies for my comment or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're not mentating. You're not beating yourself. You're not creating a someone that is a bad something, because you're nothing. You are the formlessness, and all this is just dancing around. That's a perfect example when Ranjit Maharaj talked about when you're sleeping, if you kill a cow, which in India to kill a cow is like, this is a horrible offense.
Yeah.
You know, and he says, if you kill a cow and then you wake up the next morning, you don't go and turn yourself in, because, and nor do you have to do a penance. And it's the same. It's like, you don't have to sit there and say, oh, I'm such a terrible person. Okay, if something, and this is also not a free, like Maharaj all the time says, he says, this is not a get out of jail free card, do whatever you want, because all you'll be doing is piling on more illusory layers. If you start to believe, you know what, I'm the self, so it doesn't matter what I do, I can do whatever I feel like doing. Well, this is a problem, because then you have created a sense of doership and saying that I can do whatever I want. Well, this is more egoistic. And if the ego mixes with spirituality, that's a very crazy mixture. Mm. Especially when you sit there and you say, I have realized the self. It should be that this I that thinks it's realized the self has been erased. You know what? There was only the self. All these things that I thought that were other, they were not. There is just this. I am that. Because there is nothing other than that. So I don't have to look at the forms and say, oh, I'm not this form, I'm not that form. No, I am that. And when you know yourself in a real sense, and that's why, Keith, when you say, when I know myself as formless, but sometimes I don't, but once you know yourself as formless, then I am that. And nothing else is. That's why that saying, tatvama se, you are that. Mm-hmm. There is nothing else. Ah, you got the, there you go.
This one's I am that, and that's you are that.
There you go.
Oh, really? That's cool.
And that is all there is.
That's all there is.
I need a lot of reminders.
Yeah. That's the cheat sheet. No, yeah, person, well, no karma.
Before I went to India, I read those Mahavakyas over and over and over and over again. And, you know, it's like Tadvama Se, and then Sarvau Kavidam Brahma, which is like everything is Brahma, and then all these, I didn't know exactly the pronunciations of them, but I would read them each night. That along with Shivoham, where it says, you know, I am not the body or the wind or the any of those things. That's a very beautiful hymn, that Shivoham that they sing in the ashram. And so I would read that, and it's just, you know, like Maharaj says, you're refreshing your memories. Mm-hmm. None of this illusory happening is true. This concept of John is not true. And when I remain with my selfless self, I know myself in a real sense. Again, the space that suddenly has eyes to see inside the space, and then forgets it's the space, so starts seeing object to object. But the eyes that are seeing, the seer, and this is why Maharaj says, remain with the seer is the space. The seer is none of the objects. This body is like a telescope to see inside the consciousness that was created spontaneously because you think or you know I exist. And whether this body is here or not, you are. And that's why meditation is so important. You only have to know yourself, just touch yourself, just very briefly, so that I am that. And that's why I think we spoke about last week, you can remain with that sense of presence. And while there's a duality, you remain with presence. Okay, there's a sense of presence. And now I start to identify myself with the presence more and more rather than the body. And I go about my daily life identified as the formlessness in which all this is occurring. And the more I remain there, it will unravel. And there will be the dawning realization that everything is appearing on the presence. And I'm observing the presence, and I'm observing the objects within the presence. And I'm outside. I'm outside the total bubble. There's no. There's no way I can be in that bubble. There's no way I can be one specific object. There's no way I can be. How? You cannot. And now there's no concepts because there's not even illusion because there's body falls, and I'm no longer knowing this. Because there's nothing to know. There's no. You just remain. And you go deeper and deeper and deeper. And like Maharaj says, the joy, the spontaneous happiness, how can I seek happiness or pleasure or anything in this world that I know I have no relation to at all? There's no birth, no death. The concept of individuality absolutely doesn't make sense because the same as saying if you look in the mirror, you have a twin. You say, oh, look, there's my twin. Oh, look, my twin's waving at me now. Like, oh, my twin is smiling at me now. Oh, hello, twin. Hello. What's your name? Oh, I can't hear you. Yeah, I know. Oh, you can't hear me either? You know, it's like it's a reflection.
So you mean like okay, when you think you're a body, you see your reflection in the mirror and you know it's not it can't really respond to you. I guess
it's not you. Even though it may appear to be.
And then from the position of knowing you're not a body, you would look at the body at the same way, I guess.
Exactly. It's just an appearance, but it's not me. There's no world. Just like when you look in the mirror and you're waving and, oh, here's this guy waving at me. And I wonder if his world is better than my world. Because look, it's an appearance that appears to be something. An imagination, concepts. I can sit there and say, well, the man in the mirror, he's having a good day.
He's having a conceptual day.
Yeah, but it would be my concepts that were creating a life for the man in the mirror. I could even wonder if he has a family back behind the door that I see in his mirror. And that's Nisargadatta Maharaj uses the example, instead of the mirror, the moon that's on the lake. You're seeing the lake. You're not seeing lake. You're seeing the lake. That's the truth. But you're seeing the moon and the stars and everything, and it looks like two skies. You could say, oh, look, I can touch the moon. But then when you touch it, of course, it then you know it's a reflection. Or the mirage in the desert. Ramakant Maharaj uses that example all the time of the deer who's walking in the desert and he sees a nice lake and he goes, but as soon as he sticks his nose in, it's just sand. So that's the reality dawning. Like prior to sticking his nose, conceptually, he can create all kinds of things like, oh, I'm going to quench my thirst. I think I'll take a bath too. It's so wonderful, so beautiful. But then reality hits. Oh, it's not true. And if he's stubborn, like some spiritual seekers, then he'll say, well, this portion that I stuck my nose in was just sand. But over here, that's where the water is. I just lost my bearings a little bit. Really are formless. If you weren't, you couldn't discover this truth, because you'd have to imagine it. And you know very well the difference between imagination and reality. And as you said again, Keith, oh, you know, there are times when I know myself as formless and then I don't. But now that I know myself as formless, I never forget this. I am formless. I have to refresh my memories. If I get lost in the illusion, this is possible. Just like they talk about the chariot of thoughts. And if I let those horses, you know, if I'm trotting and the horses are doing good and the wagon is moving in one direction, okay, everything's fine. But if I let those horses really start to pull, and then before you know it, they're running and the chariot is flopping and I'm falling off and they're just running away, these are the thoughts. I get carried away with the thoughts about the illusion, believing that they're real, and I go further and further away from my selfless self, which is not actually true. I'm just covering with layers of illusion. I never go away from myself. And that's why refreshing your memories, remaining with your selfless self, using mantra, and why Balsam Maharaj said bhajans three times a day to keep you in that spiritual atmosphere, to keep you refreshed, constantly checking in with yourself. And now that you know yourself in a real sense, if you do start to get lost in the illusory world for whatever reason, you can easily fall back. Oh, have a big decision to make in the illusory world. Should I think about it and write a whole list of pros and cons and all that? Or should I just remain with my selfless self? And now that I remain with my selfless self, most likely the spontaneous action in the moment will just flow. It'll no longer be, oh, this very heavy decision. And if I do this, it's going to happen this way. And if I do that, it's going to happen this way. And if I do that, and then the mind, it's like you're pumping up a tire with this mind. You're like, oh, yes, pump, 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 more thought. Let's think about this. Let's think about that. Let's identify with all these thoughts. Let's erase everything. And then, oh, if I just remain with myself as self, maybe I just wind up walking and I see myself making some tea or sitting and watching a little television or whatever. And then I come back and, oh, okay, that thing is done. That's the beauty of being nobody. And how they talk about, you can pour the water into a cup, you can pour the water on the floor, you can pour the water in a vase. All because it's formless and it just flows. So as your own self, if you remain with your selfless self, it's all spontaneous action in the moment, which the funny thing is, it is anyway. It's not like you are actually, oh, now I'm spontaneous. And prior to that, I was not spontaneous. You're still spontaneous action in the moment. It's just identification with the sense of doership that creates this concept of I'm doing, and therefore there's a cause and effect created. But the truth is, it's all spontaneous action anyway, because you're not an actor and there's no deed, no doer. It's only the concept of a doer that creates this causality. That's why when people say, oh, what's the cause of the world or the cause of this? Well, causality is only there when you are there. If you know yourself in a real sense as the formlessness, then causality doesn't make sense. What is to cause what? And then you could say everything is the cause of everything because I know myself and this sense of existence. That is the cause of the entire universe. Just as when I go to sleep and I'm sleeping and I'm in kind of a deep sleep, I have no knowing, no knowingness, no body, no mind, no ego, no intellect, nothing is there prior to beingness type state. Then suddenly there's a sense of existence. Boom. A dream world explodes onto the scene. The cause of the dream world is I know my sense of existence. I exist. The cause of the waking dream world is there's a sense of existence. I exist. And that's not the individual. That's you are. You, the formlessness, have a sense of existence because suddenly there's the space in the room has eyes and sees that there are objects. Look at all these things. What is my relation to these things? If I don't know myself, my relation to these things is I'm a thing and there are other things. If I know myself, these eyes are seeing inside myself all these things. but these things cannot be true because they're appearing within the space. And I am the space that's providing the background for all these appearances. But I have no relationship to the appearances at all. And yet you could say, I am in everything, because without the space, without the background, without the sense of existence, nothing is, nothing could be. And yet it's not true, so it's causeless. Oh, I just saw it. 7 minutes.
Wonder why it feels so joyful sometimes when I'm loosening away from the ordinary mind. It feels like really like really good or joyful or something.
Yeah, there's no disturbance. Like Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, you are disturbing the peace. This concept of you and living a life and all the worries of this person that I am not. And I think in Selfless Self, it says, you know, you're worried about illusory enemies and illusory problems that are not happening.
What? But I guess I'm still identifying with the joy to some degree.
This is okay, because you are that. All happiness is your own self. You don't seek happiness outside yourself, because you are the fountain of happiness. You are what puts the touch of happiness, like Tinkerbell, that they sprinkle the little pixie dust. You are what puts happiness in happiness. You are the source of happiness. You don't need to bring it in from outside.
But why is it happiness instead of negativity? I don't know why.
Because it's nothing. It's a no disturbance. Serenity, peace of mind, so to speak, but without mind. It's like, it's true peace. Or if you want to say silence without the concept of silence. Peace without the concept of peace, bliss without the concept of bliss. Formlessness that has no attributes and therefore nothing added to